Good morning again. Thank you for being here. Please open your Bible to the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis. We're going to look around a number of different places, beginning in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I want to talk to you about something. It's part of a message occasionally, this idea of walking with God. Walking with God. My message this morning is rather simple. I'm going to share with you three things in the end. There will be more, but three major points pertaining to what it means to walk with God. In one of those points, we'll be talking about faith, and I'm going to give you 24 things we need faith for. So those are two little lists. One of 24, that'll come first, and then the three. And if you take notes, those would be things to listen for. I'll try to remind you when we get there. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you as you think about walking with God. About 5 years ago, I did in Sunday school, at least started, a short series called Characters in Chronology. This would have been 5 years ago, at least. And to establish our focus, we were looking at Noah, and I asked a question, which family would you choose to survive a nuclear holocaust? There's only going to be one family that survives, and you pick that family. Okay, that would be a hard choice. That would be a hard decision to make. What would you look for, though? Well, God had such a decision to make. There was going to be one family that would survive, not a nuclear holocaust, but a universal flood. And so God had to choose a family who would survive the flood, and He chose the family of Noah. The family of Noah. And why? Why did He choose Noah? We know. The Bible tells us what He was looking for or what He saw in Noah and in Noah's family. And so what do we know about this family anyway? You go back to Genesis chapter 5 and you find the story of a man named Enoch. It says in chapter 5 and verse 18, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. So there's Enoch. Going down to verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 65 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. So we're looking at the family. Let's look back a little bit, a couple generations. Four generations removed, Noah's great-grandfather, a man who, according to verses 22 and 24, a man who walked with God. And so we want to understand something about Enoch. Someone suggested that Enoch was accustomed to walking with God, and they were out walking one day, and the Lord looked at Enoch and said, "Hey, Enoch, we're closer to my house than to yours. Why don't you just go home with me today?" Well, I'm not sure that's exactly how it happened, and that walking with God means in a physical sense. I think Enoch walked with God in a spiritual sense, and that's what we need to take away from this. Enoch loved the Lord, and he lived in His presence. We talk about that, living in the presence of God, being aware of God's presence. Enoch walked with God in a spiritual sense, always aware of God's presence. And I'll say more about him in just a few minutes. If you look on down to verse 21 of chapter 5, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." We read that verse. In verse 25, "Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech." "And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969. That's the longest lifespan recorded in the Bible. So that's what we say. Maybe somebody lived longer, but that's long. 969 years Methuselah lived, and that's the longest lifespan recorded in the Scripture. This would be Noah's grandfather. 969 years. He died the year of the flood. He died just before the waters came, the year of the flood. We look at verse 25. Once again, it says, "And Methuselah lived 108 years and begat Lamech." Lamech. "And Lamech lived 180 years and begat sons, and he called his name Noah." "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil, the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." So there's some acknowledgement of God and the curse, and Noah was expected to be a blessing. And it said in verse 30, "And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died." Now, there was another Lamech in the Bible, but this is the Lamech that's the descendant of Shem, Adam's son Shem. There was another one that would be the descendant of the Hamitic people. But this one, this is a good man, Noah's father, Lamech. He acknowledged God and the curse on the ground in verse 29, and he looked forward to the deliverance from that. He was looking for relief from that, maybe the relief that was prophesied back in Genesis chapter 3, where there would be deliverer who would come, the seed of a woman. This man, Lamech, died before his father, Methuselah, died. He died 5 years before the flood. And then the fourth generation, Noah, verse 28, first part of the verse is, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah," in verse 32, "and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And so there you have the four men and then their wives added, eight that would go onto the ark and be saved from the flood. Chapter 6 of Genesis and verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." He walked with God. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Did you notice a phrase that describes two of these four? I just said it. They walked with God. And that's what we want to talk about, is walking with God. So two men in those four generations that walked with God. And the other men, in between the two, there are others, and we know that they also were godly men. But the thing that we want to see this morning is Enoch and Noah walked with God. This is not a phrase that's used very loosely in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, it only appears a few times. Back in Genesis chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, but we know that Adam walked with God. But Adam's was a different. His was a physical walk. It says in verse 8 of chapter 3, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And of course, they fellowshiped with God in their innocence. And so he had a walk with God, a natural walk. But we're going to let that go. Another person who is said to walk not with God, but before God, was Abraham. It was a spiritual walk. It says in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 40, "And he said unto me, Lord, before whom I walk, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." So he's talking about a bride for Isaac. The Lord before whom I walk will bless you. He'll go with you and he'll point out the one that you're supposed to bring back as a wife for my son. The Lord before whom I walk, said of Abraham. It might be called a walk. Abraham's might be called a walk of obedience. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." Walk before me. So you get those words again. Abraham walked before God. Can I walk before God? Well, certainly we can. We can do exactly what they did. His was a walk of obedience. Thirdly, I should say, David walked before God. In 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4, the Lord says to Solomon, "And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments." So you can glean from all of these, walking before God, these individuals who walked before God, to help to define what exactly does that mean. If I want to walk with God, if I want to live in His presence, what exactly does that mean? We could look at all of these. Through Samuel, the Lord called David in 1 Samuel chapter 13. It says there, but in verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." David's talking to Saul. "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." And that was David, of course. And David walked before the Lord. It was a man after his own heart because he was close to the Lord. He was conscious of his presence and his intervention in the affairs of life. David was aware of that. And you know he was, as you read his story in 2 Samuel, especially, and in the Psalms, in his writings in the Psalms. Lastly, I would say the tribe of Levi is the only other reference to anyone actually walking with God, using that preposition, walking with God. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6, Malachi is describing the priests. The priests in Malachi's day were corrupt. They were terrible. And they had been for many years, many generations. But the Lord uses Malachi to remind the priests of that day that the Levites, the original Levites, going all the way back to the days of Aaron and the following generations, they were faithful priests. They lived and died to do the service of the Lord. And Malachi is used of the Lord to remind them of that. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6, "The law of truth was in his mouth," talking about Aaron and the priests, the early priests. "Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity." The priests were good and they were godly. Now, in contrast to people who walk with God or walk before God, there are those who refuse to. We don't have to look very far in our day to find individuals like that, but they're all over the Scriptures pages as well. You remember the story of Eli. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were not good priests. They caused the people to sin. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 29 to 30, it says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifices and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, saith the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So God just wrote them off. They were ungodly priests, but their forefathers, the Levite tribe, the forefathers, beginning with Aaron and his sons, some of his sons, were very godly people. But the Eli and his family would not walk with the Lord. Why not? Well, Eli raised his two sons, and they were selfish. And they caused the ladies of Israel to sin when they came to worship. They took away from the people, they took the best, the choicest of the meats, the offerings, they took them for themselves. And they did it in a way that was not pleasing to the Lord. Eli was their father. And people complained to Eli, hey, your sons are not doing right here. You need to get them in line. And Eli refused to do that. He allowed them to go on. And so it was a matter of they kind of got caught up in the day, in the spirit of the day, and they were not real serious about the things of the Lord, and it seemed okay because it didn't make much difference. They were enjoying life, and they were enjoying sin and the flesh, and so they didn't walk with God. And that's the reason we don't walk with God, is because the flesh is more appealing. Living for me is more appealing than living for the Lord if I get my eyes off of the Lord and if I get my focus on the wrong things. David's family was another. The Bible tells us, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, David told Solomon. Walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, and that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whatsoever thou turnest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their ways to walk before me in truth with all their hearts and with all their souls, there shall not fail thee, he said, a man on the throne of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 2. So there are people in the pages of scriptures who refuse to walk with God. There are people in our day who refuse to walk with God. They're not faithful to the Lord. They may call themselves Christians. They don't read the Bible. They question the Bible. They dialogue with the infidels. And they don't have any intention of walking in the presence of the Lord and living in light of the truth of the Scriptures. They have no desire for that. So I would ask of you and of me, first of me, am I walking with God? Do I walk with God? You ask yourself that question. Do you walk with the Lord? And you might say, well, you didn't define it altogether yet. Maybe you should tell us what it means to walk with God. So I want us to look at the lives of the two men that we talked about in the family of the man God chose to survive the flood and to repopulate the earth. We want to talk about those two men that we mentioned before. We want to notice the key elements of what it means for somebody to walk with God. And we're going back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. And we're going to look at this man Enoch in Hebrews. And we may bounce around a little going back to Genesis at times, and you can follow along or just listen. Enoch, the Bible tells us, pleased God. Enoch's story is found here in chapter 11, and verses 5 and 6 are part of what God has to say about Enoch. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The context is Enoch. Enoch. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, it says that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That's what we read back in Genesis. I used to have an employer. He said, did you know there are four raptures in the Bible? You got my attention. What are you talking about? Four raptures. And everybody that was called up, Enoch and Elijah, and they're raptured, he said. Well, I said, that's not what I'm thinking when I think of rapture. I'm thinking of that great event. But Enoch was indeed called up to be with the Lord. He was raptured out of here. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so the writer of Hebrews says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So he didn't die a death. God just took him straight to heaven, from life here to life there, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he, what's the next word? He pleased God. He pleased God. Well, how? There's verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Enoch had a God-pleasing faith. Okay, so we're thinking of things. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to have a God-pleasing faith, to believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch lived in a wicked generation. Perhaps he had to stand alone in believing that there was a God. We're talking about the antediluvians. What does that mean? Before the flood, the antediluvian situation, that sinful society, that's when Enoch lived. The antediluvians, and many of them obviously didn't believe there was a God, or if there is a God, he's way out there somewhere and he's not going to have anything to do with us, and they weren't concerned about what God wanted. But Enoch obviously believed that God was, that he was involved in his life, that he was involved in the circumstances, that God had not forgotten his word, nor had he forgotten his people. He believed those things. Perhaps he stood alone as a believer that God would bless him if he would seek God. He believed that God would bless him. He believed that if he walked with God, if he believed that there was a God and that God loved him and that God would bless him, then he would be blessed indeed. Because he sought God and he walked before God. He walked with God. And God did bless him. God did bless him. Now, I love you people and I'd like to be here forever, but if the Lord would translate me out of here right now, that would be all right. I would be really happy to be in his presence and not have to die. That would be phenomenal. That would be exceptional. That would be wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. But that's not his plan for me. It was his plan for Enoch. I'm going to look back to Jude 14, verses 14 and 15 in the book of Jude, because it also mentions Enoch. It says there, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, so seven generations removed from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them that of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of the Lord coming to the earth and judging. Now, you wouldn't know that even from looking back in Genesis, but here the inspired word of God tells us that Enoch believed. Enoch believed that the Lord would come to this earth and judge. Enoch believed that God would judge the false teachers of all ages at the second coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or so it seems from the Scriptures. But how could he know these things? How could Enoch prophesy such things as are revealed right here in Jude 14 and 15? I'll tell you how. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Enoch believed what God said. Enoch believed God. He had a very God-pleasing faith. God requires the same of you and the same of me. We quote Hebrews 11:6 all the time. God requires of us a faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Do you walk by faith or do you walk by sight? You know, if we're honest with each other, probably we would have to say about as much by sight as I do by faith. That needs to change. That needs to change. We need to walk by faith and not by sight, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5. The Bible says in a number of places, in Romans and Galatians and Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Are you just? Have you been justified? Have you been declared righteous before God? The just, he says, shall live by faith. I think of Enoch in Enoch's day, pre-flood. It was a wicked day, we know. There was not as much to believe about God. There was not as much known about God, perhaps, to the people of Enoch's day. Enoch didn't have what we have. We have 6,000 years of evidence of God and evidence that He is who He is and who He said He is. We have a complete Scripture. We have the complete Word of God, which is filled with His promises. We have a lot to believe God for. Enoch didn't have what we have. He had some promises. He had some Word that had been passed down to him, and he believed everything he heard that God had said. God has given many promises to you that can comfort and bless, but only if you believe them. Only if you believe them. You can have a faith that pleases God. You can have a faith that pleases God. Well, how? Well, by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. By the preaching of the Word. You can sit here and listen to me talk, and if I'm sharing with you what's in the Scriptures, then you can take what you hear here, and it can be a blessing to you through the preaching of the Word. John 17:20 says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Paul anticipated people being blessed by the word of God as it was passed from generation to generation, which is what we do here at Corinth Baptist Church. We can have a strong faith through the word of God, through the preaching of the word of God, and through surrender to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit, one part of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, he says. So listen to the Spirit. Listen to the preacher. Read the Bible. And there's a lot for us to believe God for. Okay. A God-pleasing faith. That's what it means to walk with God. Why is it so important? I mean, really, why have faith? Because it is by faith that God gives you the treasures that Jesus hung on the cross to pay for. I'm going to give you those 24 things now real quickly. Write down a word and a verse if you'd like to take notes. First of all, we need faith for salvation. Number one, faith for salvation, Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." It's that easy. It's that simple. We need faith, number two, for adoption. John 1:12. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1:12. We need faith if we're going to have eternal life. John 3:15, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:15. Number four, we need faith if we're going to have freedom from condemnation. If we're going to be free from our condemnation. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18. Number five, we need faith for preservation. For preservation, John 10:26-29. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, Jesus said, and I, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said to them, but ye believe not. You need faith. You need faith, number six, for freedom from spiritual death. John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 12:36. And then John 12:46. John 11:25-26. Number six, freedom from spiritual death. And then we need faith for spiritual light. Number seven, spiritual life. That's 12:36. John 12:36. While ye have light, believe in the light, Jesus said, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. And then verse 46 of the same chapter, John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Without faith, you don't have anything. And with faith, you have everything that God died to provide for you. Number eight, spiritual life, John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What is eternal life? It's knowing God now. It's having a relationship with him right now. Number nine is remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Everything God does for us, it's a result of faith. Justification. Number 10, justification, Acts 13:39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 13:39. Number 11 is sanctification or purification. Acts 15:9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying our hearts is done by faith. Number 12 is salvation. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The disciples told the Philippian jailer. Number 13 is an inheritance. You want an inheritance? You get it by faith. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Acts 26:18. Salvation again, Romans, this is number 14, salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Peace comes through faith. Did you know it? Peace comes by faith. Romans 5:1, this is number 15. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The imputed righteousness of Christ given to us so that we can stand in the presence of God. The imputed righteousness of God, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Justification, Romans 3:28 and Romans 5:1, justification. I'm not going to read the verses just for the sake of time here. I'm going to go ahead and give you the references though. Number 18 is access to God's grace. Romans 5:2, access to God's grace. Number 19 is to be a recipient of the promises requires faith. Galatians 3:22. Number 20, Ephesians 3:12, access to God. You can't approach God without faith. You have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The indwelling Christ is the result of our faith. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, the indwelling Christ. Number 22, imputed righteousness, again, Philippians 3:9. Number 23, edification is the result of faith. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister question, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, he says. 1 Timothy 1:4. And lastly, our verse in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, to please God requires faith. This is just a small list. Everything, literally everything God promises to you, you receive it by faith. Nothing comes wrapped up under a tree. Nothing is given as a present, a physical thing. Everything God wants to do for us is in the spirit realm. You're saved in the spirit realm. You still live in this body of flesh, and it still has its problems, and we're still living in a condemned, a cursed world. In a cursed body, waiting to die so that we can enter into our eternal bodies and in the presence of the Lord, all of which is the result of our faith. So Enoch, he had a God-pleasing faith. How about Noah? Noah, according to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, Noah was known for righteous living. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. A just man. Just means righteous. He did right. He did the right thing. And perfect here means complete, in accordance with the truth, the way that God has required it. That's how Noah lived. Noah lived in accordance with what God required. He walked with the Lord. In Noah's day, the earth was as bad as it gets. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 17, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they brought, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Could you be as bold as Noah? Could you be as bold and as right and as righteous as Noah in this day and age? Much like Sodom and Gomorrah, hey, we're there. Much like the antediluvian civilization with all of its violence and bloodshed, hey, we're there. Can you walk with God? Can you live righteously and justly in this present generation? Noah was also known for his obedience. God told him to build an ark of gopher wood and put rooms in it and pitch it on the outside. Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 to 22. It was as simple as following instructions. Follow the instructions. It still is that simple. It's not hard to know how to live our lives for the Lord. It's exactly like He told us to in His Word. Just follow the instructions. But many Christians today make God say what they want Him to say. They twist His Word. Noah obviously had exercised patience in the process of being obedient. Hey, the ark took 120 years to build, and they were in it for 371 days. And all of those years and days, Noah just followed the instructions. He did what God told him to do. Somebody said, well, don't pray for patience because God will send you trials. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I would say it's never good to pray, Lord, I want you to give me patience, and I want it now. I wouldn't do that. Noah was patient, and while he was patiently waiting for the Lord to do everything He said He would do, he was obedient. Noah walked with God. This is what it means to walk with God. Noah raised Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They repopulated the world. They were the godly family that God chose to live through the flood. Shem is the father of the Arabs and the Jews, Ham of the Africans, the Ethiopians, the Canaanites, and Japheth, the Orientals, the Europeans, the different people groups where they settled. It's a sobering thought. Your children's concept of God is determined to a great extent by you. My children are older now. They're approaching 40 years old. And my children's concept of God is still very much shaped by their father and their mother. I see that. They want Dad to be faithful. And I tell them I'll die trying. I want to finish strong. I want to please the Lord. Parenting, godly parenting. Noah, who walked with God. Paul saw his discipleship as opportunities to sort of parent in the spiritual sense. Thou therefore, my son, he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, the runaway slave. Godly families will likely produce godly offspring. So was the case. Four generations we looked at in Noah's family. If your family was not godly, not a godly family, your life can be the beginning of something really new and great and God-pleasing. You can be the first generation. You can. A walk with God will be marked by, here are the three things. This is the list of three. Faith. Have a God-pleasing faith for the things that you are responsible for right now, that He has promised to you right now. And trust God for those future things. Number two is righteous living. Righteous living, even in the most adverse circumstances. And number three is simple obedience. You want to walk with God? I can't make it simpler. It came from the life of these who walked with God. What? Faith, righteousness, and obedience. Faith, righteousness, and obedience. That's what it means to walk with God. How are you doing? How are you doing? Faith, righteousness, and obedience. Brothers and sisters, it's the 21st century. The world's more sinful than it was a few years ago. Hey, it's more sinful than it was a year ago. The ungodly are as wicked as ungodly have ever been. And believers are falling away. Those who call themselves believers are falling away. We need, you and I need to walk with God so that we might be blessed and so that we might be a blessing. God help us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless, Lord, help me to walk with you. Help me, Lord, to have a God-pleasing faith. Help me to live right and righteously. And Lord, help me to obey your word. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters here that they too would walk with you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.